Good morning again, my friends. This is David Stahl from Beholding His Glory, and yes, you are listening to Pebbles of Truth on WJCV Radio. Okay, let us get back into the forming of Christ within. Now, last week I said we will begin looking at knowing Christ. Oh, how man wants to know things. Now, take heed, my friend, that wanting to know things got Adam and us in a lot of trouble. But knowing Christ, or coming to understand Christ, is the greatest thing we can ever aspire to want to know, because if we know Him and He is in us, then we know all of the wisdom and the knowledge, for they are hidden in Christ Jesus. My friend, Christ must be formed in us. Let me say that again. Christ must be formed in us. But what exactly does that mean, and how does God accomplish such a thing in us? Well, now open up your spirit. Christ is formed in us when there comes an inward consciousness of Christ, or to put it another way, when we begin to know Him in an inward way. Now, this inward knowing will grow to govern us, and because knowing Jesus equals the truth, we will likewise be set free from all errors about God. But I have found that it is easy to read the descriptions found in the Bible of what Christianity is supposed to mean, but substitute my own meaning and experience for the real, and then congratulate myself that I have it. Perhaps there is no other issue where this is done more than that of knowing Jesus Christ. Christians by the millions think that knowing Jesus is nothing more than knowing He is their Savior, which He is. Yet there are many passages that exhort those already saved to go on to know Him in a deeper way. In Philippians 3, 7 and 11, Paul pens these immortal words, "But what things were gained to me that I counted loss for Christ? Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Jesus Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His righteousness, and the fellowship of His suffering, be made conformable unto His death, if by any means I might obtain unto the resurrection of the dead." Can we see in this passage and in Ephesians chapter 1, 16 through 19, Ephesians 3, 14 through 19, Colossians 1, 9 through 12, that they are written to the saved, that God wants us to go on and grow in the grace and the knowledge to know Him more and more? It is here that we ought to again ask a sobering question. If Paul is travailing that Christ be formed in us, and if Paul prays the above prayers for the believers, does this not prove to us what God Himself desires for us? For if the Bible is the inspired Word of God, which it is, then what Paul says he prays for us surely must be God's will for us. And yet, perhaps a greater question is this: once we realize that it is God's number one desire for Christ to be formed in us, and that we come to know Him, once we realize this, do we dare make anything else our number one desire? Well, I think we know the answer to that question. I mentioned how most Christians think that to know Christ is to simply know the fact that He is our Savior. Oh yes, fire insurance. Well, for sure. For sure, Christianity is not so what the forming of Christ is in them, but rather it is the forming of doctrinal teaching about Christ. Now open up your spirit and understand what I'm saying here. Please understand this point very, very well. It is vital to see the difference between the living Christ in us and knowing the doctrine that merely teaches about Christ. Let me say that again. It is vital to see the difference between the living Christ in us and knowing doctrine that merely teaches about Christ. It is the difference between a woman who is pregnant and one who simply reads about what it is like to be pregnant. And yet, my friends, how easy is it if we do not have a revelation of Christ to know that teaching about Him is all there is to knowing the truth? But we will not know what we do not know, and so we will assume that what we do know is all that there is to know. This happens more and more often than we can possibly imagine. I truly hope you are getting this, my friend, because it is so important. Let us go a little deeper now. Now, if I can see Jesus and have an inward relationship and revelation with Christ, then the doctrine aspect will emerge and line up alongside of that revelation and that relationship. And here is the kicker: it will be right and true and righteous. But if not, then we will now have a clue as to why heresy is filling the hearts of so many people today. Plainly, they do not know Jesus. Let me say that again. Plainly, most Christians do not know Jesus. They, millions of Christians, have no revelation or relationship with Jesus. Why? Well, because they have not really seen or understand Him to a lesser or a greater degree. Oh, they have jumped through the hoops and followed instructions from someone to accept Christ as their personal Savior, but that is all that they know. And then they try living a spiritual life with only a confession of their need for Christ. Well, this will never work, my friend. We must come to know Christ in a deeper and a fuller way. So since they do not know Christ, they live their life of error that has a hold of them. Wow. They live their life in error that has a hold of them. Paul spends the greater part of four chapters of his letter to the Galatians trying to show them their error of their false gospel. But finally, thank God, in Galatians 4:19, he comes to the only solution. You will notice that he does not say, "I will travail until you get your doctrine formed correctly." Oh no. Despite the fact that he teaches plenty of doctrine in Galatians, that nevertheless he does not say to them, "I am travailing until you all stop all of this law keeping and realize that it does not matter, you know, how you live." Oh no, Paul gives them the only solution to their problem. Indeed, we could rightly say that this is the solution to any problem, to every problem in Christianity today. He says, "I am in travail," the pain birth, the birth pains. That's what the word travail means, until Christ be formed in you. Paul was having pains, like a lady having a baby, wanting the people to be born again. My friend, Christianity is Christ in us through the Holy Spirit, Colossians 1:27. The Christian life is Christ seen in and through us in so many ways, included and most often in our obedience. Our character and our attitudes is another part of Christianity. You know, Christ died for our sins, but he did not die for our character flaws. Let me say that again. Christ died for our sins, but he did not die for our character flaws and our attitudes. God expects us to allow him in his strength to clean up these areas in our lives. The purpose of the Christian life is that Christ might be formed in us and then seen and made known through us unto God's will and his glory. Let me say that again. The purpose of Christ's life is that Christ might be formed in us and then seen and made known through us unto God's will and his glory. This, my friend, is for the individual believer. And because of that, then it is true for the body of Christ. Wow. Next week, we will take a look at the disciples and how they managed before Acts 2, the disciples before Acts 2, as we continue to look at the forming of Christ within. This has been David Stahl from Beholder in His Glory, trusting that you have a wonderful week and you get this message. And it just becomes real and a part of your life. Because if you don't, well, you may not be a Christian. You just may not be a Christian. And that will never do, my friend. God bless. And we will talk to you all next week. Amen.